Hello and welcome to another edition of Christian Deep Dive. Today we're going to look at something very extraordinary. Of course, everything in the Bible is extraordinary when you really think about it. But we're going to look at John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And we're going to just have some comments about that. And as always, we're going to do a deep dive and really try to understand what was going on here, maybe with a fresh look. I'm going to start with verse 7 of John chapter 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because the disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him and he would give you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." "Go and call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming," who is called the Christ. "When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Powerful stuff. Interesting to note, you know, Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. He knew that he had to go through Samaria. He knew that this woman would be here at this very moment. He knew that she would be alone. He knew that he'd be sending his disciples ahead so that he could just have a one-on-one talk with her. It's interesting, in John chapter 3, he had just had a discussion with Nicodemus, who was a very high exalted Pharisee, who Jesus was working to explain the gospel to him. And now here he is talking to really what was considered the lowest of the low in society. A Samaritan, who the Jews typically despise. B, a woman who they typically ignored. So a Samaritan woman was considered, from the Jewish standpoint, the lowest of the low. So here's Jesus is talking within a couple days' time, most likely, to someone who's considered the highest and most exalted type of person, that being a high order Pharisee, and then what is considered the lowest of the low. You see, Jesus doesn't pay attention to some of the things that we pay attention to. A soul is a soul. And I think the way the gospel is written here is trying to show us and make a point about that. You see, Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Talk about racial prejudice. There was definitely racial prejudice against the Samaritans, which was an offset of the Jewish religion. But not to go too far away from where I want to go here, the Samaritans had some different practices, some different ways of worship, some different ways of doing things. And so they were kind of cast off on their own in the area of Samaria. And, you know, there's other places where you'll see where Jesus uses the example in a story of Samaritans, the story of the Good Samaritan, who typically people wouldn't expect would have done anything good. But you'll notice that the woman here, when she's talking to Jesus, she's amazed, because what does he do? He's able to tell her exactly what's going on in her life. And that's when she kind of realizes, wow, you know, you must be a prophet because you're able to tell how many husbands I've had and what's going on in my life. And I'm sure she was embarrassed, but also shocked at the same time that he was, as we like to say, reading her mail. But one of the things I want to focus on for this session here, and maybe we'll revisit this passage again sometime as we do Christian Deep Dive, I want to talk about what Jesus says here about worship. He says, but the hour is, in verse 23, the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Recently, I saw there's a television series out there right at the end of season one. The series is called The Chosen. And right at the end, they have a whole episode pretty much dedicated to this where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And it got me, it's very well done. And as I got thinking about it, I started thinking about this passage and looking at it. And I myself wanted to dive a little deeper into it. And in doing so, I want to share with you. So worshiping in spirit and in truth, what does that mean? When we think of worship, we think of going to church and walking in and seeing that the first song is this and the second song is this and the third song is this. It's usually listed up in the front. Some churches don't list them. They just do four or five worship songs. And there might be one or two at the end of the service as well. And we consider that to be worship. And indeed, it can be. I don't want to in any way take away from that. Certainly, it also can be just you on your own when you've got a worship tape on in your car or your house, or you're taking a walk and you've got one in your earbuds on from your phone or from your iTunes or something like that, and you can be listening to worship music and worshiping along. But I think what I've discovered and what I want to share with you is we have to make sure that we're simply not singing a song, that we're simply not mouthing phrases that are up on the screen. What does it really mean to worship? Jesus said to worship in spirit and in truth. Let's start with truth first. To worship in truth means this, means we have to come to God and worship in an attitude of worship, acknowledging exactly who and what we are. And that is when we come into the presence of God, and I don't care if it's at church in a worship service or on your own in your car, as I discussed, you need to come realizing who you are. In other words, you're a saved, redeemed soul that God has redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you come into his presence with an attitude of truth. You don't come like the Pharisee who basically came in and said, oh, thank goodness, I'm not like some of these people that don't worship you. And then there was the guy that was in the part of the temple that said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, who's the one that's justified? The one who said that they were the sinner and have mercy on me. See, God doesn't like pride. And to worship in truth means you acknowledge who you are, you recognize your dependency on God, you realize that the only reason you can stand there in the presence of the Father is because of what Jesus did on the cross and the Holy Spirit who led you to even consider going to worship or consider worshiping. So to worship in truth is to recognize who you are, who God is, and what he has done for you. So that's worshiping in truth. Worshiping in the Spirit means you come. And of course, as you come and you confess who you are and you see who you are and you're going through all these things that acknowledge what the truth is, then you start to get things coming into your spirit. You start to feel an experience within yourself. Oh, Lord, you just start getting more things of God right at that moment. Things start coming to you. You normally come into prayer with an attitude of petitions and things you want to talk about and things you need and things that are going on in your life, all which are well and good, which you should come with. But when you start to worship in the Spirit, you come to God, you start declaring the truth of who you are, what you are, and all of a sudden God will reset your priorities. It doesn't mean you don't pray for these things, but God, I've noticed when, as I've studied this and I've been taught myself and start thinking about what it means to worship in the Spirit, it means you get in God's presence, and it might be, again, the song that's up there or the song you're listening to or whatever it is, you see the words, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit puts something on your mind that's up there, and your mind starts to drift and into the area that he wants you to go to. And as I'm describing this, you say, well, aren't you describing prayer more than worship? Well, I think we come into worship a lot of times in an attitude of prayer, in an attitude of, you know, we want to worship the Lord, but we've got things on our mind, don't we? And so we enter into his presence in truth, and we start to get into the mode of where the Spirit is working on us, and we start worshiping him, and we start giving him glory as the song or whatever is going on. Again, we're counting on the fact that these are good, decent worship songs written with proper theology and proper, you know, you have to be very careful what it is you're listening to these days. But if it's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's honoring the Father, if it's honoring the Holy Spirit, then that's what you kind of be looking at. Watch out for so-called worship songs that are glorifying man and what man is. You know, we're nothing. And that's why we got to come in truth first. We come in the attitude of truth of who we are, who God is. We get into his presence, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts working on us. And even some of the words up on the screen or what we're listening to, we may hear them and the Lord will touch us and have it mean something directly personal to us. And it'll just ignite worship into us and how glorious God is and how wonderful God is. And it may spur us as we're worshiping. We may have come in with a certain attitude of mind, and when we're done with worship, our attitude is completely different because God has shown us things while we're worshiping in spirit and in truth, things that he wants to convey to us. And it's very often that when you're in worship like that, that you do start to pray. God puts things on your heart. God puts things on your mind. And it might be the very thing that you walked into that was on your heart, but he's teaching you to pray for it in a different way or a different attitude or with different expectations. So that's what Jesus was talking about when he's talking about this woman, that the time is coming when you will worship in spirit and in truth. Because back then, people thought, well, you can't worship unless you're in this particular tent or unless you're in this particular building. And of course, a lot of people have that same thought today. A lot of people think the same thing. Well, I know I don't. I mean, I actually had this happen when I first became a Christian. I was driving my car and there was somebody in my car, and I can't remember who it was. It was a Christian artist, but this is when they were pretty scarce. You know, back in the 1980s, there weren't a whole lot of worship tapes around, but I had a cassette of somebody and I was listening to it. And the person in my car said, well, what are you listening to that for? You're not in church. And I said, what do you mean? Well, that's singing about God and how wonderful God is. That's what you do in church. You don't do that outside of church. You should have some other music on. And at the time, I was like, well, it's kind of what I like singing about God. I'm in the process of learning more about God. I want to do it. But I still think back to that because, you know, a lot of people have that mindset. And to me, it's a dangerous mindset to have because I think as we grow, you know, when you first come to Christ, you know, you're at the kinder. Everybody starts out at the kindergarten level and the first grade level as far as what they know about the Lord and what is important and what's supposed to be. And some never get beyond that. And we're not meant to do that. So it gets back to that whole thing about people thinking the only reason you get saved is so you don't have to go to hell. Let me tell you quite clearly, that's a side benefit. It's a side benefit that you don't have to go to hell. That's not why Jesus came to save us. He came to save us to restore our relationship with the Father. And so he came, it was the Father's plan. Jesus came and died on the cross to fulfill that plan. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides those that are called to come to him and to know him and to experience him. And we're not meant to be left at a first grade level. We're to continue to grow. We're continue to dive into the deep things of God and try to understand. And so if you don't grow and you think that worship is just, well, it's only for when I go to church and I go into the service and I read what's up there. And if I'm in agreement with it, and then I wait for them to get over with it. And then I listen to the sermon and I've been to a worship service. No, you haven't been to a worship service. Other people there might have been worshiping God, but you weren't. You were simply kind of checking off a box, really, so to speak. And if you're honest with yourself, you probably would realize that that's the way it is. But take heart, Because if you want more of God, if you really want to be someone that worships in spirit and in truth, all you need to do when this tape is over is to get along with God and tell him that. Say, Lord, I don't think I have been a true worshiper. I don't think I have come in to your presence with the spirit of truth and worshiping in the spirit. I just haven't done it. I've had my own agenda. I've tried to create you in my own image. And I think, well, God is just somebody I go to when I worship or when I pray, and I give you a list of things I want you to do. And if you don't do them my way, I'm going to be mad at you. You know, and that's kind of a human way of entering into prayer or worship. And so Jesus was trying to correct this woman and say, look, you know, the time is coming and now is. This is what it means to worship. And he's trying to explain it to her. And again, how wonderful that he really, when he was with Nicodemus, he was trying to get Nicodemus to understand who he was. But with this woman, he came right out and told her, I'm the Messiah. And she's basically, think about this, this lowly person, the low of the low, is the one that he first declares who he is. And he tells her that he is the Messiah. I just think it's a wonderful thing. There's a lot more things in this that we could probably explore and maybe in the future. But for now, I think I've given you enough things to chew on, to contemplate. And for now, this is Christian Deep Dive. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.